We have it. Human Nature is officially out and released into the world. Welcome back to the podcast and the pendulum, and I hope that everyone is loving that new record. I am sticking rigidly to approximately two sentences about it for now, as I have exciting plans coming up for how we can celebrate the new release together. But it couldn't have come at a better time, and I'm so happy to know that we have new Nightwish in the world to see us through this very strange situation we're all finding ourselves in. It may feel like a very apt anthem for the current situation, but I assure you that when I planned these episodes back in January, I didn't quite realise that we'd be releasing this one on Planet Hell during a global pandemic. But welcome to today's episode. We are venturing all the way back into 2004 and the release of the album that made me fall in love with Nightwish once. Planet Hell, despite not being an official single, has become a beast in its own right, a staple in the band's live sets, and one that has hooked many online gamers, not to mention sports folk too, including my guest today, Alan. He's definitely, I think, more of a gamer than a professional basketball player, but I don't know, maybe he has a secret. He's a good friend of mine, a longtime Nightwish fan. I've known Alan for a really long time. I'm super happy to have him on the podcast. All of this exciting stuff encompassed with religious imagery and a very apocalyptic feel, so typical Nightwish, yeah? Once Tarja had a dream, and this was definitely not it. The nightmare that the Planet Hell lyrics express feels really stark and hopeless, and that's probably part of why the song is such a success. I guess we're all masochists. It's clear that the intention for the song was to cause something of a stop and think moment from its listeners. It also follows the mid-tempo Nemo in the track list, and as it builds from that tense choir build-up, that is the amazing intro, before the fury of the band breaking through, it really is a moment in Once that really does stand out. So let's first of all have a look at the lyrics and just how Tuomas was making sense of the world towards the start of the 21st century. A dead world, a dark path, not even crossroads to choose from. Tarja sings of the way that the world feels so far gone at times that there isn't even a choice anymore. So confident is the planet on its road to self-destruction that we can't even steer it away. We also get the sarcastic lyric, "Behold this fair creation of God." It's mocking perhaps the wars that are fought in the name of religion, or the beautiful creation that is the earth that mankind has somehow ruined. What makes Planet Hell so poignant is the way that its lyrics speak very generally about devastation and destruction. It doesn't tie itself too tightly to one specific event or situation. So be it melting ice caps, world wars, or even the 9/11 incident, which we'll come to later, the lyrics tell of a world that is struggling to coexist with one another and is causing chaos in its wake. So as such, Tarja sings longingly, almost like she's singing just to herself when she says, "My only wish to leave behind all the days of the earth, this everyday hell of my kingdom come." The kingdom come links back to religion, of course, but it is also terminology for something of an infinite time frame. So there's no end in sight to the suffering that Tarja is singing about. The climate crisis does arguably get its own line a little bit later as Marco sings Mother Gaia in slaughter. Mother Gaia being the earth, originating from Greek mythology, where Gaia was the mother goddess who presided over the earth. And Marco follows that up with Welcome to Paradise, Soldier. I feel like this can be read in probably two ways, well, numerous ways, but for me, I take it in two different ways. Firstly, the word soldier already brings forward these images of like war zones, gunfire, war, bloodshed. But it could also be another mock at religious ideologists, that this is kind of the world that you've been fighting for. Are you happy with this paradise? all life is to fear for life. Now that is a provocative lyric. The idea of surviving being the only element of existing and the only purpose within our lives. It's certainly not that case just yet, I think it's fair to say, for most of us. But Thomas is telling us of some future dystopian environment where we may well be only focused on surviving each day, something that we are fortunate enough not to be able to even comprehend. I do wonder if the next lyric that Tarja sings is the voice of the opposition. You challenged the gods and lost. So rather than these non-theistic folk blaming religious extremists, perhaps this is those said religious people casting that stone back at them and blaming their lack of belief and faith and worship as the reason for the suffering. And the next chanting refrain is for me the most memorable part of the song and the bit that always comes to mind when I think of Planet Hell. Save yourself a penny for the ferryman, save yourself and let them suffer. So this refers to Charon, I think I pronounced that right, the ferryman from Greek mythology that escorted souls from the world of the living to the world of the dead across the river Styx. As such, tradition was to place a coin in the mouth of the deceased to pay for their passage. But then we do skip forward past the Greek mythology into Christianity with This World Ain't Ready for the Ark. The Noah's Ark was built as God cleansed the world by flooding it in its entirety, and only those on board the Ark survived. So Tarja sings that the crimes and the wrongdoings of the world mean that they don't even warrant the chance to survive. So all in all, a nice, cheery set of lyrics, I'm sure you will agree. Planet Hell has been used in a wide variety of mediums since its release. First, although I haven't found any footage online in my searching, I'm informed that Tiia Pili, the Finnish gymnast, performed to the song during one of her competitions, and having seen and raved about the amazing Australian synchronized swimming team who performed to Last Ride of the Day, I would love to see Tia's performance. So if anyone has any links or anything, please feel free to send them my way. A very different sport though, this song Planet Hell was also used as intro music by the San Antonio Spurs in 2005. So now I did find this on YouTube and it looks epic. I am not a sports guy by any measure, but they sure do know how to do adrenalizing introductions, and Planet Hell fits that bill perfectly. I really do recommend you guys searching that out on YouTube. So the San Antonio Spurs are an American professional basketball team. They're based aptly in San Antonio, and the Spurs compete in the National Basketball Association, the NBA, as a member of the league's Western Conference Southwest Division. The team play its home games at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, and naturally I already knew all of this information, and I definitely did not just read it straight from Wikipedia, because I, my friends, am a professional. Over into the world of TV and film, which I am a lot more familiar with, Planet Hell was featured on the official soundtrack to Dark Kingdom the Dragon King, which was a film based on a German poem about Siegfried the Dragon Slayer. How fantastical. It probably sounds like more of an obvious fit, arguably, than an American basketball team, but hey, Nightwish and their audience is forever expanding into new worlds. So this has all kind of been a precursor to this next bit, because perhaps the most common gateway into Nightwish has been the world of YouTube gaming clips. Many featured the band's music to soundtrack their playing thanks to this epic and grand sound, and that's something that still takes place now with various games. But Planet Hell really does fit perfectly, and it's no surprise that the song inserted itself into RuneScape history. I grew up with a lot of gamer friends, and RuneScape when I was at school was the big game that everyone seemed to be into. It's hard not to acknowledge the ardent fanbase that the game conjured I'm sure many of you listening will have strong memories of the game if you are a gamer, but perhaps it's still a big part of your life even today. I'm sure you will have heard of it even if you haven't played it, at least if you're around the same age as me. But back in 2006, only a few years after Once was released, RuneScape saw a bug, which meant that safe areas of the game were accidentally opened up, and that meant that other players could storm these said areas. So it's something like a war-like scenario, some kind of war crimes, and arguably a pretty enormous event for RuneScape devotees and players at the time. But as such, the event has become well known in RuneScape circles, and that's where Planet Hell comes in, though not necessarily as we know it. In Amongst the Madness, a video that detailed the bug being exploited by many players and the subsequent pillaging of their safe zones was shared on YouTube titled The Falador Massacre. And what better song to serve as a backdrop to robbery, madness, and digital carnage? That's where Planet Hell comes in, you probably saw that coming. But for me, the real magic won't actually occur for another decade. So in a genius move of self-awareness, Jagex, I think, was that right? Yeah, Jagex, I'm reading my notes here. They're the company behind RuneScape, and they celebrated the 10-year anniversary of that infamous event, the, what is it called, the Falador Massacre. And not forgetting the band that were the unofficial soundtrack to it, it even remastered their own cut of Planet Hell. So, although it had enough differences to avoid any legal damages, it appears that the official version was taken down, but it is still available on YouTube if you just give it a quick search and have a listen. It's remade the sound of Planet Hell, but the original influence is definitely still there, and fans of Nightwish will clearly be able to pick it out. It feels a bit more of a complex arrangement than an 8-bit remake, but you can actually feel some of the more power metal sounds that Nightwish previously had, and that really comes to the fore in this version. So all in all, as a non-gamer, this is definitely my biggest find whilst researching this song. I love that the song just took on a life of its own. Like, the band had no involvement in this at all, and yet because of fans and because of RuneScape fans, it's now a huge part of that game's history. Pretty nice. Moving over to the band themselves then, who thus far in the episode, I think it's fair to say, I haven't mentioned very much, but I dug out some interviews around the Once era to see what the band said about the song. And this song in particular. And the most direct questioning was definitely in a track by track of Once, which DPRP conducted with Thomas. And of Planet Hell, Thomas said, "Then the fourth one will be Planet Hell. It's one of those real straight rockers on the album. My personal opinion is that it's a little bit boring to my taste, but it has a real great intro and an outro, and it's just like real rocking, hard punching in between. Yeah, a definite live hit, one of the best lyrics actually that is on this album. I'm really satisfied with the lyrics and all that, but the song is a good one." So perhaps it's the fact that Thomas is more media trained these days, or perhaps he's just genuinely more enamoured with his later material, but I can't imagine him ever calling a song that he's about to release and promote as boring. I do wonder though if maybe he still holds that opinion, and especially since Planet Hell is regularly included in the live set, Thomas is of course not the only decision maker, and perhaps it's that the rest of the band really enjoy it, for example. It certainly gives Marco a time to shine, whilst also keeping the fans happy because they do love this song. And Thomas said as much himself in another interview when asked about Marco's heavier involvement in the song. He said the lyrics require it. With that kind of lyrics, you cannot sing quietly. Speaking of Mr. Marco, Metal Chest of Wonders asked him about the religious themes in songs such as Planet Hell, which links nicely with last week's science and Sagan themes. Marco replied to that question, "Looking at this world, I don't think God is just, but he's got to have a sense of humour if he exists. I mean, having Dawkins on the album makes a lot of people think that we're joining the atheist movement, but I think that it's a militant world. I have to say that in my world, I haven't seen organized religions or political systems do that much good to the world. But I'm not going to deny that there might be something bigger behind all of this. But from my point of view, it's like bacteria trying to see if there's a human being that he walks on. Pretty deep, Margot. But if this pandemic in general wasn't making you feel quite apocalyptic enough, check out these final quotes. When Thomas was asked if Planet Hell is based on 9/11, he answered, "Oh, it's about everything that's going on in the world today. Not just that, pretty much everything." And to finish on a high, Tario was asked if Planet Hell is a title that fits our world better nowadays, to which she responded with the single word, "Exactly." Big smiles all around. If you do want some sincere big smiles, then try plonking this track into a Nightwish set and seeing what a response the audience give, especially during that epic build-up of the intro. But no need to imagine, YouTube has plenty of versions for you guys to devour. The official channel seems to be making something of a habit of Planet Hell live cuts as well. So if you fancy a high quality version of Floor slaying this song, check out the clip on their official Nightwish YouTube channel, and you can hear Floor sitting towards the top of her operatic register. At this point, elements of the performance, of Floor's performance, stay quite true to Talia's original, but she still belts out her rockier side as she insists that the world ain't ready for the arc. And who are we to disagree with Floor Jansen, whatever she says? Spinning Platters agreed. In their live review, they claimed an explosive blast in the form of the classic Planet Hell, which offered Jansen another brilliant moment to shine in her new role. Annette gives a haunting, almost evil delivery with her voice, which she's so good at. She can often be accused of sounding too pure, but for me, this purity to her voice adds a new dimension. It's like a cruel, childlike voice that adds another layer of atmosphere to this kind of song. And again, a live version with her is included on the Nuclear Blast YouTube channel. And it's not often you get a high quality of Annette singing the older songs, so do have a listen if you're interested. And kudos to the comments stating how weird it is to hear the world, to hear the word dead pronounced correctly towards the beginning. You are deed right. And then, of course, there is Talia. You've heard the version of End of an Era, I'm sure. But I like Wish I Had an Angel, which we discussed a few weeks ago. She relies heavily on her guitarist to take the male vocals when she's performing this song in her solo sets. But I can't deny, I would have loved to see how she delivers Marco's bits. They feel so guttural and powerful. But she sounds as strong and haunting as ever as she gives those bursts of the operatic prowess that make the end of the song so powerful. And it's an element that has made the song so captivating in the first place. And for me, she sounds even better now she's performing it solo. There's just something about her confidence in these solo tracks. She's just amazing. Way back in the listening sessions for the new songs before Once was released, Rock United hyped us up quite early for this song, and they stated, and I love this description, "Planet Hell starts out with an orchestra, then turns the most devilish and twisting, changing its pace all the time. If Hell had music, this would be it." Well, Scaretale would like a word, but at the time, yes, this was probably one of the most intense cuts that Nightwish had offered, at least where atmospheres are concerned. Once is always a Reddit knockout that I approach with caution. Aside from a couple of outliers, it's such a difficult one to call. Ghost Love Score, Nemo, Dark Chest of Wonders, Wish I Had an Angel, Planet Hell. If a song wasn't a much-loved single, then it seems to be a fan favourite instead. So it's something of a bloodbath when you're voting on the songs from that album. But despite all of that, Planet Hell did creep into fourth place. And that's no mean feat for the reasons that I just said, and probably about where I'd put it too. But now, someone that has had quite the history with Planet Hell is my very good friend Alan. You may recognise his lovely Scottish twang from the Kinslayer episode, where he kindly provided some clips for me. But I knew he had to be involved in this episode since Planet Hell was his gateway into the world of Nightwish. Now, Alan is a diehard fan and long-term friend. I love that he always gives an honest account. He isn't one for putting any band or artist on a pedestal, and as such, you know what he says is his true and honest opinion. And since we have nothing better to do than sit in quarantine, I got a feel for his general thoughts on the band too, so let's enjoy. Hello, Alan. Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be such a big fan of Nightwish.
Hello, thank you for having me. My name's Alan, I'm 27, and I live just up the road from yourself in Scotland. Nightwish to me were the band that everyone had, that they kind of absolutely obsessed over with when they were growing up. I discovered them in 2006 when I was 13, and ever since then it was like non-stop begging my dad for the albums, the singles, the t-shirts, posters that were all over my room. And even though now that I'm much older and I think I'm a bit more reserved in my fanboyism, like I don't like placing musicians on pedestals, they're still the band that I will always go and see live. I will always listen to their album as soon as it comes out, read reviews, listen to the singles and watch the videos. Because even though I've discovered so much more artists since then, I will just always have those memories of the band and I will just always anticipate everything that they do, and I honestly don't think they ever won't be my favourite band.
So am I right in saying that Planet Hell was the song that you discovered Nightwish with?
Yeah, so Planet Hell I found when I was 13. It was 2006. The heaviest thing I'd really listened to at this point was Evanescence, because I didn't really seek music out. I only heard what was on the radio. And I was in the library, because I didn't have internet at home, looking for fan videos of a video game series called Blood Rain. And the first one I saw was Planet Hell. And for the first minute of that song, which just has that epic intro of the strings and the choirs, I was like, holy moly, this sounds like something out of a Lord of the Rings soundtrack. And since I wasn't that into metal, when the riffs, the guitars and the drums and Marco started coming in, I was kind of like, oh, I'm not into this, because, you know, I was a metal noob. But then I heard Taria come in, and that was just totally out of left field for me. Like, I was not expecting to hear this beautiful female opera singer just come out of nowhere. And even though I didn't like metal or, you know, opera by itself, hearing them together was like an absolute match made in heaven for me. And even to this day, after listening to their entire discography for 14 years, it's still one of my favourite songs by them. And I think regardless if you're listening to Taria or Annette or Floor singing it, they all bring something so unique and they can all nail that song so incredibly well.
Right, so how about your friends then? Were they also into Nightwish or in a similar fashion? Did you meet anyone through your love of Nightwish?
I do have a couple of IRL friends that listen to Nightwish, but absolutely none of them come close to the level of fanboyism that I do. I have met quite a lot of online people through it though, such as yourself, and also I am quite active in the Nightwish Facebook groups. I think I might have a wee bit of a reputation as a joker there, but regardless, I am still there because I'm a fan and I love to share my opinions on the music and share cool fan stuff. My dad also, who's no longer with us, he was really into two songs that I can remember, which was Dead to the World and Sleeping Sun. So they remind me of him, and I like that my favourite band have two songs that remind me of him, so yeah.
That's really lovely. I mentioned in the Eva episode that my mum also really loved that song, and she's also no longer with us. But good that you mentioned that we did meet through Nightwish, and of course we met Floor. So myself and Alan went to see Epica and Revamp were supporting, and we met Floor, and we have an amazing photo of Floor absolutely dwarfing the both of us. I think we come up to like her belly button or something. So going back to Nightwish in general, Alan, what is your favourite Nightwish album?
My favourite Nightwish album is something that I've tossed and turned on a lot over the years, and I've finally come to a conclusion that even though I think that Imaginarium is their best, because that album just works on so many levels and I absolutely love the concept, my favourite album by them is Dark Passion Play. because I got into Nightwish in 2006, so it was between Tarja leaving and Annette joining. And, you know, I was quite young at the time, and I'd already heard, like, all this material with Tarja on it, so it wasn't really a, oh, I'm so disappointed that there's not going to be more Tarja. It was just like, oh my god, there's going to be more Nightwish music, you know, regardless of who was singing it. And I remember going to the library every single day after school, and I would just listen to, like, the leaked songs. And I know you shouldn't do that now because they get very upset, but I still did it. I can't change the past. I would listen to the songs every day after school in the library, and they would always have this thing like, you're listening to Master Passion Greed from the new Nightwish album.
You're listening to the new Nightwish album, Dark Passion Play, and this track is called For the Heart I Once Had.
And I was like, oh god, please hurry up so I can listen to it without it. And it did. October 2007 came, and I was supposed to go into school that day, but I didn't because I was a bad boy. And I went to HMV and I picked up Dark Passion Play. And as I was walking down the street, someone from my school was walking down, and I dodged them and went right into an alley. I was like, oh my god, I almost got caught. But it was worth it because I took the Nightwish CD to the library and I listened to it until it would have been an acceptable time to go home and pretend that I had been at school. And so even today, like, just hearing the album brings back so many feelings from my growing up years when I was like 15. And even though, again, I think it's a little bit weaker than Imaginarium, it has some of their best songs. I think The Poet and the Pendulum probably is their best song, and I know that it isn't on the album, but Escapist, the B-side, that is, I think that is my favourite Nightwish song of all time, and it's so overlooked, but it's bloody perfect.
Probably should say that we don't condone people skipping school for Nightwish, but, well, I guess I would have done the same. But Alan, have you seen Nightwish live?
I have seen Nightwish live twice. Once for my first gig in 2008 with Annette. I remember I had been watching End of an Era for years at this point, and even though it was a different singer, the fact that I was seeing my favourite band live for the first time ever, just, I was almost crying. I was so emotional, and that was seriously one of the best nights I've ever had. Probably my favourite gig still up until this point. The second time was in 2012, shortly after Annette left and Floor was there. I was very upset that I would never see Annette again, but I was also so excited to just see Floor there, just in, like, some of her first concerts, and she was absolutely mind-blowing. And they performed Planet Hell as well, which they didn't the first time I saw them, so I was very excited for that, and they just blew everything out of the park. And I also, of course, got to hear Ghost Love Score with Floor performing it, and we all know what happens when you see that. It's very, very messy.
Wow, thank you so much for that image, Alan. Always a pleasure. So before, while we were preparing these questions and stuff, I did ask you to think about a 5-track EP. So if you were going to give a 5-track EP to someone that had never heard Nightwish, what songs would you put on it?
So the 5-track EP, I have put so much more thought into this than you probably thought that I was going to. But for the first track, I would go with Elven Path, because it's from the first album, it's The Roots, so you have to have something from there. And I skipped a wee bit of time after that onto Wish I Had an Angel, because Once is their breakthrough album, and also has Marco on that song as well, and he needs time to shine. Third track would be Escapist, because that's when Annette joined, and even though Escapist was a B-side from Dark Passion Play, I think it really captures that fantastical feeling that you had in Imaginarium. So I would have to go for that. Plus, more people need to hear that song if they haven't already. It's seriously one of their best. The next song would be Shudder Before the Beautiful. Again, Floor Jansen joining, and it's really the song that I think shows Nightwish going from this fantasy of the past 7 albums to being more about nature and science and the world around us and appreciating the beauty of our world. And for the 5th track, it would, of course, be Ghost Love Score live at Wacken 2013, because it is their big epic and it's Floor performing it. So again, yeah, everyone needs their first Floorgasm. You never forget it.
So much thought indeed. I love when people really give it a good think. I definitely think I should make it like a regular thing. We can get different fans to give us their 5-track EP. But there were all the questions that I had, Alan. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Simon. I've been really enjoying it. I think you're doing really amazing work, and I am very humbled that you asked me to be a part of it. So thank you so much and have a lovely day. Goodbye, bye-bye.
Thank you again so much to Alan. And as I said, I'm really happy to have anyone on the podcast to tell their story about how they fell in love with Nightwish. I do find it genuinely fascinating, and it's really lovely as well to hear how different people connect with different songs or have different favorites. So you can always reach me on Instagram. The username is Podcast Pendulum, or send me an email to thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com, and I'll be super happy to have you guys on board. But for now, that is all we have. We have to come back from planet hell to planet pandemic, I'm afraid. But I really hope that you guys are all keeping safe. And remember, we have human nature to keep us entertained, but do try and stay at home and all of the stuff the government's telling us to do. You hear it often enough, or you don't need me to repeat it. I hope to hear from some of you guys. Make sure you do give us a follow on Instagram too. We do like quizzes. We do more than that. Come on, Simon, what else do we do? I post pictures for every episode. And also we do polls and song rates for each of the songs that we discuss. So I'd be really happy to have you there. And as I said, let me know if you guys want to contribute to a future episode. It's called The Fan Podcast for a reason. It's not The Simon Podcast. It's not all about me. And I would really appreciate it in particular because next week we're going to be discussing a song that I have approximately one thing to say about. So it may be a very short episode. The Podcast and the Pendulum is a fan-run podcast not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, Spine Farm, Drakkar, or any associated companies. We post new episodes each Wednesday. Please subscribe on however you listen to your podcast.